Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mindshifters Radio. I'm Dr. Tim. It is Monday, September 10th, 2018. And I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice to talk about the Ancient Aramaic Tools of Forgiveness and a host of other tools that Michael and Jeannie make available on the website at www.whyagain.org. And I often say these are some of the most powerful and effective and accessible tools I've encountered in my 44 years of doing therapy. So please feel free to go there and avail yourself of these fabulous tools. And call us at 563-999-3581 and press 1, and that'll let me know you have a question or comment. I'll announce you by your area code. And that always makes these shows more rich and lively and educational for all of us. So, welcome to Mindshifters Radio, and welcome Dr. Michael Rice.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for being available to fill in for Jeannie. She's gone with her dad to a doctor's appointment, so she's going to be tied up for the next couple of hours. And we're honored and delighted that everybody who chooses to be with us every day that you choose to be with us, that you do that. It's awesome to have your ear, your participation, your willingness to pass the principles along that we're speaking of here. And our Course in Miracles lesson for today is lesson 251, and this is section 4 in the Course in Miracles. And the topic of this particular lesson 251 is the question, what is sin? Now, before somebody goes running off into Greek mythology and Greek horrors and, you know, terrible things that they've done, et cetera, let's get clear what the actual original Aramaic meaning of the word was and what it was used to describe. Sin is an archery term. If you were on the archery range and someone fired at the target and missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper would yell, "Sin, you're off the mark." That's all it would mean. In human terms, when we engage in an energy that is off the mark for a human life, and of course, to determine whether there's something that's off the mark, you'd have to determine what was on the mark. So let's determine what a human life is. Hold a newborn baby. When you hold a newborn, you get to experience precisely what human life is. It's that awesome active presence of love that you are. Now, my offering is that the only energy that belongs in your structure and in your life is that of love. And anything other than that, hostility and fear and all its variations, are sin, are off the mark. If you go back and you listen to the ancients, you know, they talked about the wages of sin is death. Yeah, that's exactly true. All disease, suffering and death, and not many people want to hear this, is a result of sin. Is a result of, does that mean, oh, you did that big, terrible, awful, evil? No, no. Little old lady with the ABC disease has engaged in energies that are off the mark. Maybe it was just her frustration all those years at her husband about you know, him, what she, her mind told her was about him not doing what she wanted him to do. Or maybe it was, you know, the little old man who's decrepit and let's be clear that we're talking about responsibility here, not blame. We're just talking about how the energy system works. There's no judgment that goes along. There's no moral, you know, oh my God, look at you, sin. It's just, if I engage, and you know, I've had my share of diseases in my life. I was born, actually, they called the my father the night I was being born and said, you better get your buns in here or you're not going to see this kid alive. Spent the next 25 years on an inhalator and pills. Was inspired by that to search for healing and to begin to understand the sin, the energies that were off the mark that did not belong within my field as an individual. Each of us must make that journey on our own. That is, each of us must select to do the journey. We don't have to do it alone, however. And that's the purpose of this show. The purpose of this show is to support you creating a space for your sin, i.e., what is it I don't understand? Why did I rage at such and such last night? Why did I engage in the energy that's off the mark for my human energy field of rage toward, well, you know, it might be something that happened 10 generations ago in your bloodline. I don't know. Whatever it is, you can forgive it. Oh, you mean I'm supposed to let sin off the mark? No, no. Or pardon me, off the hook? No, that's not what it means. To forgive is to remove. It's about removing the energetic patterns that don't belong. When the energetic patterns are removed, then the physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial strife that happens begins to disappear. Because we are creators, and if we create out of energies that are off the mark, then we're in trouble. So the first thought in this lesson is sanity. Everything that's off the mark is insanity. And when we hold that insanity in our minds, we literally generate a perceptual world based in those energies that are off the mark. And so the key thought that goes along with this lesson is I'm in need of nothing but the truth. So if I've engaged in, oh my goodness, who knows how much anger and rage and hate and fear, you know, the things that get passed from generation to generation. If I choose to undo that and I let truth in, then truth literally reorganizes our whole structure and our whole system, and we get to live out of a different game. So the meditation from this lesson, and I'll just invite you to take a deep breath and just be with us for this quiet space. Let your mind be still. I sought for many things and found despair. Now do I seek but one? For that one is all I need and only what I need. All that I sought before I needed not and did not even want. When people say they want this, you know, they're going to get stuff. They want, they want, they want. It's usually just a cover for the energies that are creating pain, and they anesthetize themselves with it. My only need I did not recognize. But now I see that I need only the truth. And in that, all needs are satisfied. All cravings end. All hopes are finally fulfilled. And dreams are gone. Now I have everything I could need. Now I have everything I could want. Now at last I find myself in serenity. And for that serenity, Creator, we give thanks. What we denied ourselves, you have restored. And that is all we really want. So to recognize that if I'm engaging in energy that's off the mark, I want to step into the forgiveness process. And if you have not yet stepped into the forgiveness process, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. At the top of the page, there's a link right first two words on page. Say start here. Click that link. It'll walk you through how to engage in the whole process of forgiveness. And let me just say that it's not like, if you haven't engaged in it before, it's not like anything you have ever imagined or seen in the world. Not like anything. So we invite you to go there. Or take your phone and go to your app store. If you're on an iPhone or an Android phone, just open your app store. Type in the words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And you'll be looking at the world's first free forgiveness app. Actually, the world's first forgiveness app, and it's free. And it will always be free. Our commitment is to put it out there. You know, whether you've got money or not, it's irrelevant. We don't care. Here are the tools. We want to share the deepest level of understanding of each of these tools that we have developed over the last half century or so. And so we invite you to take those tools, put them to work. Download the app, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, in your app store. There are two different worksheets or wake-up sheets in the app. If you're on the Android phone, there's also a thing called the Drag-On game, which simplifies the process and is a game to introduce kids to forgiveness. That will be available within the next few days. They're working on it for the iPhone, but it's not yet in the iPhone as an upgrade. So you can download the app in the iPhone store or the Apple store, and then within a few days, there'll be an upgrade that comes in. And then lesson 252, the son of the creator, the son of love, is my identity. And when I recognize my wholeness there, myself is whole beyond all thoughts of holiness of which I can now conceive. So when I replug in, when I reconnect, you know, one of my favorite statements from Einstein is, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. So if you think you're separate or separated, try to conceive of wholeness. The world's called it holiness, but it's really just being connected to the whole of your being. And when you do that, everything shifts and changes. Every energy in your physiology, in your emotions, in your chemistry, in your genes, and in your life changes. So the truth of who I am is shimmering in perfect purity, far more brilliant than any light I've ever looked on. It is love. It is limitless, with an intensity that holds all things within it. In the calm of quiet certainty, its strength comes not from burning impulses which move the world, but from the boundless love of the Creator. How far beyond this world myself must be, and yet how near to me and close to love. Creator, you know my true identity. Reveal it to me. I am your son or your daughter. Show me that I may awaken to the truth in you and know that the community of love is restored to me. Powerful thoughts when you start to really integrate them. To the mind that's based in hostility and fear, it might sound kind of silly. But once you start to unload the hostility and fear, once you start to forgive, you step into that and it becomes so sweet and so desirable. And lesson 253, myself. And now this is the capital S self. Remember, you go back to Yeshua in the scripture and they talked about him as who thought it not robbery to be equal with God and yet remained humble. In other words, it didn't go to his ego. He realized the truth of who he was in connection with the Creator, as each of us can do. He's very clear. The things I do, you can do in greater. In the Aramaic, where the Greeks translated it as the only begotten Son of the Creator, in Aramaic, it's the first begotten. Each of us can open. He laid out a blueprint, said, hey, here's how you do it, and now you can do the things I do. So it's impossible that anything should come to you that is unbidden by you. Even in this world, it is I who rule my destiny. What happens is what I desire. In other words, everything in your life is exactly the way you want it to be. And most people say, no, wait a minute, Michael, you haven't been reading my mail. That's not what I've been asking for. If you're asking out of your head, your want is in your heart, in your unconscious, and it's the accumulated energies there that rule the game. It is I who rule my destiny. What happens is what I desire. Everything in your life is exactly the way you want it to be. Again, not maybe according to your head, but according to the organizing principle within you and your heart. Remember in the scriptures, they talk about take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. It's what you hold within this unconscious mind. Generations and generations. The unconscious mind includes what's in your genes. So what does not occur is what I do not want to happen. In other words, if I've got the ABC disease, there's probably a part of me that thinks I deserve that. Gee, you know, when I was three, I threw sand in my baby brother's face, and oh, I was told how terrible I was, and I deserved all kinds of trauma and pain, and they inflicted it on me. And now, you know, perhaps decades later, the ABC disease is a result of the belief I took on about myself, that there was something wrong with me, and I deserved pain and suffering. Ultimately, those kinds of insane thoughts need to be uprooted and forgiven. So this, the lesson goes on to say, I must accept, for thus I am led past this world to my creations, children of my will, in that space of love where the true whole self abides with them and the love that created me. You are the self whom you created, creating like yourself, and one with you. This is speaking to the creator now. Myself, which rules the universe, is but your will in perfect union with my own, which can but offer assent to yours, that it may be extended to itself. So as I tune in to the creator's will, and I have free will, I don't have to do that. Nothing makes me, nothing forces me to do that. But if I choose to live as a conscious human being, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change my game. And when I do, it makes all the difference in the world. All the difference. There's a little poem that's in my book. Of course, you can go to the website, whyagain.org, and download the book free. But there's a poem at the end of it, and it asks the question. The question is, will you make the difference? The story goes like this. Tell me the weight of a snowflake, a hawk asked a wild dove. Nothing more than nothing was the answer. In that case, I must tell you a marvelous story, said the hawk. I sat on the branch of a fir close to its trunk. It began to snow. Not heavily, not a raging blizzard. No, just like in a dream, without any violence. Since I had nothing better to do, I counted the snowflakes settling on the twigs and needles of my branch. The number was exactly 3,741,952 when the next snowflake dropped onto the branch. Nothing more than nothing, as you say. And the branch broke off. Having said that, the hawk flew away. The dove, since no time, an authority on peace, thought about the story for a while and finally said with resolve, perhaps only one person's voice is lacking for serenity to come about in the world. The next time you have an opportunity to express your displeasure, your hate, your fear, your anger, your rage, your criticism, your condemnation, your gossip, your slander, will you be a voice for peace, or will you be a voice from the past that simply replicates what's gone on in the past? What is possible for us as human beings? And we're here to support you, recognizing your part in that and encouraging your willingness to make the difference. And we're honored and delighted that you're here, and we get the chance to be here too. Dr. Tim, how are you today? What's on your mind? Anything from practice to share with us, an observation? Any particular
Well,
focus
I'm here
the
running
tools?
The switchboard and the chat room. I'm alone in the chat room, but from the beginning of the talk, someone put their hand up. So let's welcome area code 207. You're in the air.
Welcome, 207. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
And I hear nothing but silence. So 207, if you come back to the phone and...
I was mute challenged.
I know how
yeah.
that goes.
Yeah. That's funny.
Welcome.
Welcome. How's everybody doing today? What was you saying was going on
with
Jeannie's
dad? We're rocking here in Bristol. We are. We're in Bristol
with
Jeannie's dad and Jeannie's and our new 2-week-old grandbaby.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. So when is your, I know we were talking last time and you were talking about coming to Cincinnati again. If we could put together a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop.
Well, we don't
there?
Have anything scheduled at this moment, but we're looking toward it, yes.
Well, you're talking about coming back to see our good friend over there in Cincinnati.
Dr. Lenny, yes. That's in the plan, but we don't have a date scheduled yet.
Okay, because the space that I've opened up here, it's called the Center of the Universe, and it's coming along nicely. Yeah, it's coming along nicely. I'm pretty proud of what I'm doing.
Tell us all about it.
I'm proud, but I am. Huh?
Tell us all about it.
It's an old novelty company, so it's got a lot of good energy in it, from making people happy from making novelties, and it's a huge space. It's got 3 rooms. Got the first room that I don't know what I'm going to do with it. The middle room is going to be a kitchen. I'm putting together a little kitchen in it with already got all the furniture to put in it. The table will hold like 12 people. The speaking hall is 40 feet long and 20 feet wide. And we're in the process. I'm in the process right now of trying to figure out what I'm going to do here. And I think what I'm doing is I've already started buying the furniture for it. And it's going to be big sectional pick groups that people can sit in, and I've got a TV picked out to put at the end of it so everybody can watch the TV. If you're telecasting on Facebook Live or somebody else, other people that I work with, and the people that come in and help with the healing are going to be called serving angels. Our serving angels are going to come into the center of the universe, and whoever is there needing the healing is needing to understand that they are the center of their universe. And I've got a lot of groups that are wanting to come in and use the space and see where it goes. I'm really, really happy with the way it's proceeding. I'm really excited.
Sweet. That's a great
I'm
name, the center of the universe.
Here.
That's cool.
You like that? Yeah.
Awesome,
I mean,
there.
Everybody's center of the universe is inside them, right? Your universe centers
in grain,
on here.
In the grain of sand. In the grain of sand.
Yes. Yes. So that's the name of the place. And I'm arranging for parking for up to, there can be up to 60 vehicles being parked here right now. And it's just, I'm just so excited about this. I can't tell you how excited I am. I've gotten on that meetup group that you told me to. And there's so many people
right.
that are needing a space like this. There's so many people needing a space to come to and use that they're not being abused for rent and all that. You know? And I'm excited.
Nice. What a great community service.
I haven't been so excited about a project in all my life, I don't think. Yeah.
That's sweet.
And then there's a basement that I'm bringing all my stuff here and parking in the basement. And the basement's as big as the second floor. I'm going to use the basement for my own self. And then the second floor, I'm giving back to the universe to do what it wants to do. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm looking forward to you guys coming and see what we can do there.
Very cool.
To get that moving forward.
Well, Dr. Lenny's on my list to call today, so I'll have a conversation. We'll see what we might set up with him and how it all might fit together.
Yeah, if I can get some kind of concrete dates, I can start working on putting a group together to come in and sit with you. When I posted it on my Facebook, and a lot of the people I work with at work, they're like, we want to come. We're interested. I'm just blown away how when you live by example, people are really interested in what's going on. You know? And not just preaching it, but living it. Like Yeshua, he wasn't a preacher, he was a teacher. Right?
You got it.
Is that right? He wasn't a preacher, he was a teacher. And the Greeks turned him into a preacher. Oh, yes. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, interesting dynamics. You're right.
I'm just so excited about this.
So what else is exciting in your world?
Man, everything is exciting. Everything is everything's exciting. Life is exciting, man. Waking up every morning is exciting. Going to work is exciting. Talking to people is exciting. Just everything is exciting. It's a passion. It's all about a passion for everything we do. If we don't have passion, we shouldn't be doing it. Find something else to do that you're passionate about, right?
Right on, for sure. Very cool. Well, congratulations.
So
sir, anything else to share? Anything we can support you with?
No, sir. I'm just looking for you to give me some dates so we can put some stuff together and get it on Meetup and get it on Facebook and Craigslist.
Okay, well, I'll keep you posted how the conversation goes with Dr. Lenny.
Awesome.
In the meantime, if there's anybody in the Cincinnati area, get in touch with us. We'll put you in touch with Shelley, and you can use space for meeting. There's the center of the universe is here.
The center of the universe.
Now I know where the center of the universe is. That's cool.
Now, the center of the universe, the center of your universe is in your heart.
I'd agree
with
that
one. Your center of your universe is in your heart, nowhere else. It all radiates from your heart for you.
Cool. Awesome. So any questions for you or anything else we can support you with?
No, sir. Love and blessings.
All right. Well, love and blessings to you, too. I'm delighted. I can certainly hear the excitement in your voice. It's cool. Sweet.
Yeah,
it's beautiful to watch it unfold. All right, sir. Take care.
Right.
Blessing.
All right.
Thanks for sharing
with
us.
Thank you.
All right. Shelly in Cincinnati, Ohio is creating a center for carrying forward the work. Very cool. Well, Dr. Kim, anybody else with a hand up? And if not, anything for you to share? Anything going on in your world that's exciting? Principles you're seeing in practice? Are you with us, Tim? Are you mute challenged? Tim, if you're up there, we've lost your voice. Maybe your mute button's on. I'm not sure what happened to Dr. Tim, but I'm sure he'll be back.
I think he fell out of his chair when he was hearing about the center of the universe.
Okay. Well, kind of interesting. Maybe got a disconnect or some problems in the control panel. I don't know what's going on. We'll just say that we're delighted and honored that you're here. And, you know, one of the basic principles of this work is to recognize that each thing that we see is a result of a perceptual construct. And our perceptual constructs are made of the thoughts that move in us. So if someone has, let's say, a perceptual construct based in trauma and fear and abuse, then they're thinking that literally your world that they're seeing is coming out of the resonance of mind energy within them and literally creating that world that is, they think, seen outside of them. And at the same time, the thoughts that are generating that perceptual construct will tend to preoccupy their mind. So let's say if somebody has a painful reality moving in them, then their pain reality will be made up of thoughts. Let's say it's pain about self, you know, maybe something like, oh, you know, I'm not good enough. So they'll be preoccupied with thoughts about how I'm not good enough. And if somebody comes along and tries to compliment them, they'll jump in and correct them in a hurry and find some form of probably hostility or fear engaged. So literally, if we listen to the opening words in the book of John, where we're told by the Greeks, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. It's not what it says at all. In Aramaic, the original language, the original words were, in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. So literally, the mind energy that we engage in produces the world we see, we feel, and we experience. And forgiveness, instead of being lost, you know, some people get in a loop of thinking. You know, they just can't seem to step outside the trauma. And that's because the perceptual world is so strongly based in those thoughts of victimhood and pain that the ability to let go of the thinking of the loop of those thoughts running until strengthened, it seems impossible. And so when you engage in the forgiveness process, what happens is each time that you forgive, you weaken, or you, we might say, siphon off some of the amplitude, some of the energy of that particular thought pattern. And sometimes at first, it just seems impossible to let go. You know, somebody who's lived a life of, let's say, all kinds of hostility and fear, when those hostility or fear thoughts move in them, it's hard for them to question those thoughts. It's hard for them to believe that that's anything other than the truth. But as you engage in the tool of forgiveness, and again, go to the App Store, type in Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, download the app, or go to our website, whyagain.org. First two words in the page will introduce you to and walk you through the whole forgiveness process. We're here 5 days a week to help to, of course, refine our understanding of the tools and to support you in refining your understanding of the tools. Your questions are an important part of that process, and we appreciate it when you participate and play the game with us. Let's check in and see if Dr. Tim's with us again. Tim? Did we find you? Strange. Well, I can only imagine that perhaps the switchboard is down. Maybe somebody could send me a text just saying that you can hear me. My phone tells me that I'm connected, so I'm hoping that... Okay, I said Tim sent
me a text. I can hear you, Michael.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
I'm still connected, so he must have got dropped off.
Good. Tim dropped a note saying that he'd lost the internet and can't unmute himself. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see. Maybe his internet connection has gone down. So we'll hold the space. It comes back. In the meantime, we can't invite any other conversation. So it looks like it's you and I, Shelley. What else is on your mind? What else is occupying your days these days?
I'm really focusing on the center of the universe and work and self-improvement and self-understanding. My perception is all mine, and that everybody else's perception is theirs. And
it's a big lesson,
what
isn't
I own.
It?
It is. Owning what I own. And knowing it's all mine. And you know, this center for the universe, I really just want to promote and facilitate. I really don't want to be up there teaching. I think that's where I belong, promoting and facilitating. And living a life by example.
Getting clear. Sounds like you're getting clear on your purpose. I remember when we first met, you were going to go to the Middle East and you were going to teach, and that was your thing, and it sounds like you're getting clear on that purpose idea.
Yeah, what's really odd about that is I have three mechanics that work for me that are all from the Middle East. Two are from Iraq and one is from Egypt. And when I got here...
Interesting.
Yeah, and they're teaching me so much about what's really going on in the Middle East. It's very interesting. They're teaching me, the other day there was one guy, he was teaching me about everything started in Iraq. The Good Samaritans, everything, all civilization supposedly started in Iraq. And he was teaching me about the first king that made all the law for civilization. It all started off of king, I can't remember his name. But he, the law that he made, the first law that he ever made from what I was understanding, because, I mean, we have broken English, so the communication can be difficult. And he was telling me that the first law was that if there was the police force, if somebody broke into my house and stole stuff from me and there was a policeman on duty, the policeman on duty was responsible to pay me back for everything that was stolen, because it was his duty to make sure I didn't lose my stuff. And all that, of course, has been changed throughout the years. I thought that was pretty interesting. I thought that was interesting that the king said, I can't remember the king's name. It was the first king in history. And he was Iraq. Everything started in Iraq. No, it was even before Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. But you see, they have statues of him with another person in it. Maybe it was Nebuchadnezzar. But the name he said was different. It might be the Iraqi name as opposed to the English name. The translation in the two. Yeah, it's just interesting that. And this guy, the guy that he's teaching me all this stuff now, we're like best buddies now. When I showed up, he hated me. He went to the president of the company and said, "Keep him away from me. I don't want to have nothing to do with him." So I stayed away from him, left him alone, and then he started approaching me and saying, "Hey, I'm glad you're here." And now he's my biggest fan. It was an amazing transformation. Just staying consistent in that compassion and love and not judging and being hostile is what...
Makes a difference when you do the work, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And I would like to see more people stepping up and doing what they can. I know they can't all do what everybody else can do, and they can only do what they can do. Even you told me baby spoons and not shovelfuls for some people. That was a big lesson to learn. I even think about this stuff, and I think about the work that we're doing, and it's like I'm high. I get lightheaded, and I feel like I'm high on drugs. I get all smiling and giddy, and people accuse me of giggling, and like, wow.
Many, many people after the first few still point breathing sessions say that have come to the work and have done drugs in the past. Their response is, "Man, I never had a drug like this. This is just the most amazing state to be in." And, when you hold that newborn child, and, the last couple of weeks, Jeannie and I have been getting lots of chances to be with our newborn grandbaby. And just, it's amazing with all that we've got on the plate, and we've got plenty of projects going, I can just easily just sit with her. And I can sit for 5, 6, 7 hours and just look at her and be with her energy. It's just so amazing. And so, there aren't even words for it. It's just unreal. So anybody that's out there, if you're in a world of trauma and hurt and pain, one of the things I suggest you do if you practice tapping into the presence of active love, and perhaps check around your local community. In many, many communities, too many communities today, there are kids that are born drug addicted. They have no adults. They have no parents around. And these facilities that are taking care of them don't have the staff to really, truly be with them. And so there are many facilities that just want adults to come and just hold a newborn, just be the space, in the space with the newborn. And if you haven't spent time with newborn energy, go do that. It is the most amazing thing you could ever imagine. Just beyond all comprehension. And it's such a gift to give these kids who come from very traumatic backgrounds. So you can give the gift of life just being there, and the gift that you'll get from it, you can't count that high. It's so amazing. So we invite you to participate on the level of being the space of love and sending that energy of active present love. Now, I remember working with a fellow in Hawaii a few years ago, and he was a big shot in a business that was pretty violent. It was pretty cynical, you know, saying, I'm just hanging out here in Hawaii until the world blows itself up. I actually just talked to him 2 days ago. It took about 2 years. He tells me that now one of his favorite things to do, he now lives in Seattle, he's moved. One of his favorite things to do, he's on a busy street, is to sit on his porch and just hold the people walking by in love. Become one of his favorite things to do. And the cynicism and the living in a state of being on guard has just disappeared from his life. You know, it's been 7 years since we've been to Hawaii, maybe 8 years. But, you know, when one picks up the tools and puts them to work, it just makes such a difference. Just amazing. The tool of forgiveness is exactly the all forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not the act of letting somebody else off the hook because something painful is moving in you. Forgiveness is the act of going inside yourself. And as you go inside yourself and tap into the root of any quote unquote, you know, we started the session out with the definition of sin being energies that are off the mark. Allow yourself to tap into any energy that's off the mark and then remove that energy. And it's the removal that is the forgiveness process. Core of forgiveness is recognizing that perception is unique and individual to each person. That's why you can go into a courtroom and there were a dozen people who witnessed the accident and no two say the same. That's why you can have a room with 20 people in it and you whisper to one person. One person makes up a story and whispers it into the ear of a second, whispers to the third, fourth, until it gets back around to the 20th person. Now, if in fact we were perceiving what was being said accurately, then we would pass it on intact and accurately. But most people have never perceived anything accurately in their lives. So they hear a story, and their listening is different than the person's speaking who gave them the story. They have different brain cells. Different ideas fire in response to the same words. And so now the interpretation of their brain, they speak the story, but the story is shifted and changed. And a listener thinks they're listening to this other person's words when the truth is they're listening to what's resonated in them by those words. All of our listening is internal. And so recognizing that perception is a unique construct of each mind at each moment, you do not have a set of peepholes called eyes through which you look out into the world. You have a set of receivers called eyes that receive frequencies of light. Nothing goes out. Nothing is seen out through the eyes. Light energy comes in, and that light energy causes brain cells to fire. And the reason why everybody's perception, everybody's constructs are different is because everybody has a different set of brain cells that they bring to the party. Person who, you know, let's say has a prejudice against women drivers, observes an accident, and swears to the judge, "Judge, it was the woman who ran through the red light." When the truth was, it was the guy that ran the red light. But the man with the prejudice against women, literally, see, we don't see what's going on there. We see what brain cells generate. So, you know, with the prejudice against women drivers, he literally, his brain generates a picture world where he sees and experiences the woman run the red light, even though it never happened. Most traumas in people's lives never happen. They are perceptions based in internal traumatic dynamics that they refuse to own and refuse to change. Those things they refuse to forgive. So when I choose to become responsible, and then I understand how forgiveness works, I begin to remove the root of my capacity to ever be in pain. My mind tells me that I'm in pain about something, but the truth is, that's a lie. I'm not in pain because something happened. I'm in pain because of the energies that are moving in me. So when I recognize that, then I realize that I can always remove the energies that are moving in me. And the way that you do it, the core of the forgiveness process goes like this. And you know, if you've downloaded the app recently and you go through and you think, what does this mean? What am I doing here? One of the things you're going to do in every situation where you've got a disturbance is you're going to identify the goal you have for whoever the object of the disturbance is. So if I'm looking at Charlie, and I'm really irritated when he's just sitting there playing with his straw in his mouth and not drinking it. I'm really irritated, and I cancel my goal for Charlie to drink his milk. I may drop into the part of my mind that when I was 3, got beat up over spilling a glass of milk. Maybe got a whipping for it. And so here I am, 20, 30 years later, watching someone who's just playing around with their milk, and I'm enraged. Why? Powerful example of this out in a new film that came out just a week or so ago called Beautifully Broken. It's powerful for many reasons. One, it tells a true immigrant story with all the abuse that's being heaped on immigrants today. It tells a really powerful story about 3 families who come together in the strangest ways. And in particular, the American family is involved, and it's based on a true story. The girl actually appears at the end of the film, but she lives in sweetness and abundance. You know, they're a very wealthy family. They've got everything. One day she goes off to a party or an event with her friends. She gets separated from her friends and ends up being raped, but can't tell anybody. And all of a sudden she's enraged at everything and everybody all the time. And, you know, a person in that state would say, well, I hate you, Dad. You make me so mad. And that's all just denial and dissociation. Through the circumstance of helping an immigrant family, she ends up communicating with a young girl of this immigrant family who literally lives in a hut, a stick hut in Africa. But through pen pals and writing, they become friends. And it's the girl who lives in the stick hut in Africa that opens a space for her after several years to finally be able to tell the truth and get back into right relationship with her father. Otherwise, every time she turns around, she's just enraged at her parents. Her mind tells her she's enraged at her parents. The truth is, she's enraged because this pain that she doesn't know how to deal with won't go away, and rage anesthetizes it for her. And her perceptual construct tells her that her mind tells her, parents' fault that she has all this rage. When she's able to collapse into the fact that the rage started, and she's aware that her rage came from when she was raped as a very young girl, then there's the opportunity to forgive, the opportunity to remove the energy of rage, and to be restored to the truth of who we are. And the beauty of that process is the truth of who you are has always and will always be fully intact, fully alive, always brand new, shiny, never touched by anything. So no matter what you've been through, no matter what's happened to you, no matter what you've done, if you tap into yourself as the presence of love, that aspect of your being has never been touched by anything in the world. And the core of how the forgiveness process operates is a shock to most people. And the reason for that, and it took me 35, 37 years to understand this. Until you recognize that your perceptual world is a reflection of the content of your mind, it's not a reflection of what's going on outside of you. And the thing that drives perception is your goals. When you hold a goal, that goal active in your mind recruits, so to speak, content from your mind, from your emotions, from your genes, and whatever content is there comes forward and appears as the world that you see. That world that you see is totally and completely internal to you. It is unique to you. If you don't like it, it's because there are energetic patterns underneath it that need to be cleaned up. In the Aramaic language, the word forgive is shebag, and it means to cancel. So in any circumstance where you find yourself in upset or disturbance, it's because your mind is constructing a reality based on the upset and disturbance thoughts that are in you. And the word forgive is shebag, or cancel in Aramaic. And when you recognize that the cancellation applies to the goals that are driving perception, then what happens when you let go of or you cancel a goal is the perception based in unconscious pain collapses in on itself. And when it collapses in on itself, it gives you the opportunity to come back into loving relationship with that unconscious pain. And when the unconscious pain comes forward in the press to dissolve, and this person can stand in precisely the same circumstance that yesterday they thought they were enraged about, and be at perfect peace. All the events are exactly the same, and they're at perfect peace, because they don't have rage and disturbance in them. Now, believe it or not, every bit of rage, fear, hatred, anger, vengeance, sadness, grief, trauma that's in you can be forgiven, can be removed. You're not going to be forgiven for it. The Greeks turned it around to forgiveness is you're going to be let off the hook. You know, God's going to forgive you. God's never going to forgive you because God never judged you. That's silliness. But there is a power in you that when you're willing to process through those generational experiences based in hostility or fear, will undo those energetic patterns so that your perception is freed of hostility or fear. So you can walk into the same circumstance where yesterday you may have been in great trauma, and today you stand as a space of active love. And by being that space of active love, you facilitate the healing presence of love in those around you. It's a pretty awesome process. Now, again, if you haven't engaged in that process yet, open your phone's app store, type in the words Heartland, Aramaic, just like it sounds, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, Aramaic forgiveness. And you'll be looking at an app, download it, open the app. The app is totally, completely private. You can tell it anything. Nobody will ever see it but you. The only permissions required are to access the internet. Otherwise, we need no permissions. We want you in total privacy. Everything that's on your phone is yours. It's none of our business. We want no business in it. When you complete the worksheet process, the wake-up sheet, you can save it as a PDF on your phone so you have access to it. Or you can just close the app down and it disappears. It's gone. Back to electrons in the computer system. So when you understand the why and how, and I'm telling you, it took me over 30 years of working with, when I first started to work with forgiveness, I came to understand that the word forgive, shebag, means to cancel, and it has to do with canceling goals. It was like, oh, that's okay, so what? But once in a while in my workshops, I would mention that, and somebody, you know, it was actually a gift from people who were in my workshops that I do the work I do today, because several people came back to me and said, you know, I've been doing that canceling of goals things that you were talking about, and man, that is powerful. And I said to them, really? And that sent me back to the Aramaic, back to understanding. In 30 years, you know, I knew it worked. I didn't know why or how it worked. Now I can explain it to you. In fact, if you want to watch a 23-minute video presentation, I'm actually, one of the projects I'm working on right now is creating a white paper, and we'll have a little different perspective on that PowerPoint. But if you go to our website, whyagain.org, over on the right-hand side, you'll see the social media links. And the bottom link is YouTube. Click that. That's our YouTube channel. Look down the list and find the one that starts with the word PowerPoint. Literally, Bill Costantino and myself spent a year going back and forth and integrated what had taken me over 30 years to learn into that 22 or 23-minute presentation. So we invite you to download it. It's a freebie. Just go to our YouTube channel. Watch it, download it, save it. You can watch it 100 times. Literally, it's 30 years of my work in 23 minutes. You can watch it 100 times, and each time you'll get another layer and another level that you didn't hear last time you watched it. As you build the brain cells, the mind will move into deeper and deeper comprehension. And so go to the web, your app store, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. Start doing the forgiveness process. And then, as questions develop, which they likely will, we're here 5 days a week for you to call in and ask those questions. So thank you, Shelley, for sharing about your new space, the center of the universe. We hold the space for that to be outrageously successful. And we invite everybody to have the best year yet of your eternal lives. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Dr. Tim, thank you again. Technology is fun, isn't it? In the meantime, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes, and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.